Hey everyone, this is Craig Horlbeck from the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. Join me, Danny Heifetz, and Danny Kelly every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to help you win your draft, win your league, and most importantly, avoid that last place punishment. Follow the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Technique with Tom.
Slicing an English muffin with a butter blade? Boulder Dash! Just pull apart with your hands and marvel in the nooks and crannies' splendor. For each one is unique, like a snowflake. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
You're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
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 Welcome to the Masked Man Show on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. This is an emergency podcast. We don't do very many of these anymore.
Oh.
But since the siren's going off, I'm joined by my normal tag team partner, Kaz, and also Cal from Wednesday Worldwide. Super producer Brian Waters is in the house. Ben Cruz is lurking somewhere in the background. I have no idea. We're all here just hanging out because CM Punk has been officially released from AEW wrestling.
That man was not released. He was terminated.
The press release that came out today.
Yeah.
A statement from All Elite Wrestling and Tony Khan. I'll read from it. It says, All Elite Wrestling AEW has terminated the wrestler and employment agreements between Phillip Brooks, CM Punk, and AEW with cause, effective immediately. The termination was confirmed today by Tony Khan, CEO, General Manager, and Head of Creative of AEW. That's a lot of titles. The termination follows a week-long internal investigation of an incident occurring backstage at AEW All In London on Sunday, August 27th. Following the investigation, the AEW Discipline Committee, that is a wrestling faction if I've ever heard one, the AEW Discipline Committee met and later convened with outside legal counsel. There you go. There's the real heel. Before making a unanimous recommendation to Khan that CM Punk be terminated with cause. Tony Khan has a statement that follows. We all know that there was supposedly a backstage fight between CM Punk and Jack Perry at All In. There were rumors that Punk screamed some less than ideal stuff at Tony Khan. There's one report has him lunging at Tony Khan.
Yeah.
There was video footage of everything. It was reported because they were just filming everything because this is All In London. What a huge moment. Yeah, they had a real serious review of this, and it seems like, according to Meltzer, I'm gonna mangle this, but according to Meltzer, it was the non-wrestler witnesses that sort of put this one over the edge, right? The people who were backstage, the people that reviewed the stuff that were not locker room people, that were just like, yeah, you gotta fire that guy. It's kind of shocking.
Who could have seen this coming? Except literally everybody.
Oh my God. But also, he not only did he get something of a pass last time, he got his own show out of it, right? So, that was the perception from the cheap seats that we're sitting in. I mean, it makes total sense that they'd be like, yeah, you can never do anything like this again. And then he went and did it. And of course, you just got to let him go. But I mean, to be acting that way, if you're CM Punk, Kevin Nash apparently on his show this week said he's got some real issues, right? I mean, the guy's got needs to get some therapy or something. I won't go down that road, but you either got to have something going on or else you think you're bulletproof, which is a different thing going on, right? I mean, it's a bizarre situation. The worst possible reading of Jack Perry's Crimea River line does not necessitate a backstage fight, right? I mean, like a real fight. Just a really bizarre thing. So anyway, CM Punk's gone. CM Punk's gone from AEW. He's not going to be in Chicago Collision tonight. He's not going to be at All Out on Sunday, tomorrow.
Is it going to be a Payback?
I mean, Chicago and Pittsburgh let's save
that for the end of the podcast. But
my fault.
He's gone.
I'll say this.
Kaz, you said who could see this coming? What's your initial read on this?
I'll say this before I get into anything. I got to do this. For everybody, I got to give those hand claps for CM Punk. Because, man, does this dude always keep things interesting, even on a Saturday afternoon when college football has taken over the entire world and the most recognizable football face just pulled off probably the biggest upset in college sports. We're all talking about CM Punk and this madness. And I got to give some hand claps to Tony Khan. That was not the easy thing to do, letting go of CM Punk in Chicago hours before. You know, by the time this goes out, I'm sure we'll know exactly the sort of reaction, you know, AEW is going to get in Chicago, knowing that CM Punk is no longer a part of the company.
Oh, sheesh, yeah.
But, obviously something that probably could have been nipped in the bud almost a year ago Tuesday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this really started. Not started at Brawl Out, but Brawl Out 1, but this definitely feels like something that should have been handled a year ago. And not necessarily handled in the sense he should have fired him, but handled in a sense that I believe that, you know, the foot should have been put down a minute ago. I mean, granted, as a fan, as people who consume wrestling for a living on a weekly basis, CM Punk gives us something to talk about. CM Punk is, people are always going to find money to watch CM Punk, pay to watch CM Punk wrestle, watch and talk, no matter how you feel about this dude. For some reason, right. We always find him interesting when it comes to the scope of professional wrestling. So that's what makes this whole thing extremely interesting, because in most cases, he should never work anywhere again, right? Like, in most cases, like, given how the WWE stuff ended and I forgot which injury he had. I think he had staff on his shoulder and then the Royal Rumble and walking out and then getting fired on the day of his wedding and all that stuff. Then going away for 9 years, AEW kind of comes from the primordial ooze of what's not in the WWE right now. And then on paper, this should have been such a layup with CM Punk being like, Dave, I tweeted this earlier, right? And do you remember when we were at SummerSlam 2 years ago? Like right when we started this, and it was me, you, and Bill all talking about CM Punk. CM Punk had just debuted on that first episode of Rampage, and I think the next day we were sitting there, and I'll never forget it. Like, I had never spoke to Bill about wrestling ever. But right then and there, he was like, in his Bill voice, he's like, I think it kind of peaks here. Like, I think this is
Bill was correct.
He was spot on. The return, the first dance, people crying in the crowd. And I said it that day then. At that time, AEW was the hotter product. Like, at that moment, AEW was the hottest wrestling promotion in the world at that moment. Right. Followed up by Daniel Bryan, followed up by Adam Cole, Cody Rhodes in there, The Elite, all this type of stuff. At that point, like, they were, I truly believe they had some real momentum going up against WWE. And seeing how it's all sort of fell apart now, man. I we could spend hours talking about how many ways this should have been rectified, but I gotta give it to Tony Khan for making the tough decision and letting go of Punk. But now it only opens up a Pandora's box of what's possible now when it comes to everything going on in professional wrestling. But God, this is funny. This is funny though, right? Like, I mean, despite all the serious accusations and all this type of stuff, This is hilarious how this whole thing just ended up. I feel bad for folks at AEW, but it's hilarious.
Well, I was going to say, it's funny for everybody but Tony Khan. I mean, you figure what? Because you, I mean, I don't know. I may be on the other side of it. I feel like when you're at a point where after a show where you're mouthing off about everything and everybody to the media, and then you get into a fight with literally two EVPs or three EVPs at your company, you probably shouldn't get to come back and get a show.
Yeah.
But the thing, like this was the biggest headache to Tony Khan, though, right? Like, because now he's, I don't know, are they still doing Collision?
I mean, he's yeah. the thing. They still got to do Collision.
Apparently, according to Andrew Zarian, the soft brand split is over and Collision will continue apace.
So I'm sorry. I think the thing is that I don't know if Tony Khan right now needs to be booking more television. And now there's really no reason to be booking this Saturday show that apparently, I don't know if it's found an audience, but it feels like those numbers are back and forth just the way Saturdays go. It feels like he probably should have got rid of CM Punk. I don't know what the return was since CM Punk's come back after Brawl Out last year. I don't know if it was really worth the return.
That's the question I'm asking. That's the only reason why. You know, this opens up a Pandora's box worth of questions, because it makes you wonder, like, was this all worth it? Was the CM Punk investment worth all of this?
Let me take a really arch point of view. Yes, it was absolutely worth it. Now, when you do the postmortem, when you go back and just run through every single thing, you can make a strong case. If you look at wrestling a certain way, that just like all of the halts, all of the stops outweigh or balance out the positives, right? I mean, it's like wrestling is a momentum business. Right. You know, I mean, if somebody can't make a pay-per-view, they got to push pause on an angle. That can change the trajectory of a career, of a company, of whatever. And Punk was the cause or the central figure of a lot of halting, right? Even this one, even if he hadn't been fired. But we have no CM Punk for another month, 2 months or whatever. And then we got to like reconnoiter after that. And he's like, no, I'm still the real world champion. I mean, come on. And it gets holding. But that said, I mean, I don't want to overplay the significance of shows like ours in the pro wrestling world. But how many episodes of the Masked Man show of Wednesday Worldwide did AEW lead because of weird backstage CM Punk drama?
Literally,
when we would have been talking about the latest Raquel Rodriguez feud otherwise, you know, like they got attention. And I was talking on the show this week to Kaz saying, I don't believe that any of this CM Punk stuff has ever been a work. But weirdly, I could talk myself into this Jack Perry thing being work only because the logic is so airtight, where it's just like if CM Punk realized that he would never be able to work with the elite, then what do you, but you know how much attention you just got for that whole thing?
Yeah.
Let's find somebody I can work with that I can punch backstage and get my own thing going. Then we can sell that match, like that makes sense. And hey, you know, we got to say it at some point in this episode. This could all be a work, guys. I mean, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I thought when I saw Phillip Brooks in the Termination thing, I was like, oh yeah, this is real. That was my thought.
Here's my thing, man. Like we talked about just how funny and messed up this whole thing is. Like as messed up as it is, man, I feel bad for Tony because yes, you said it's worth it, right? But we got to think about this like logically, right? After running down your best young talent, your EVPs on a media scrum, you get into a fight, you're injured, you go away for a number of months, you come back, you get enabled, and not only that, not only do you not get fired, you get pretty much a whole new show based around you. You took the company's championship, the lasting image of CM Punk in your company. Yep. Is him walking out with a giant X on your title saying, I'm the real world champion, saying your guy Max, who for the second time in his career had an amazing, amazing main event match, overshadowed by some stuff CM Punk did for the second time in his career. If there's anybody that should be pissed off, it should be that guy. Then you start going on Twitter and you start, you know, we're talking about doing the post-mortem. You start seeing the old Triple H promos where he's talking about, you know, I'm sick of you acting like you're doing this for the fans. You're just doing it for yourself. The only difference between me and you is that, like, I look people in the eye. You try to act like you're some type of martyr. Then you go to Moxley's promo where he was basically like this time last year, right before All Out. He's like, bro.
Yep.
I hate to tell you, I hate to, you know, I wish CM Punk was what we all wanted him to be too when we welcomed him back into this business with open arms. But the dude has a weak mind and a weak spirit and all this type of stuff. Like, all of these things are starting to come up. And, you know, you mentioned Kevin Nash saying dude probably has some problems. I don't know CM Punk from a hole in the wall, but, like, could some weed really be that bad at this point? like, maybe at this point, like, the straight edge stuff is, like, you're taking yourself too serious, bro. Like, you've got a billionaire's money for your own show on a nationally syndicated network that is let in by the NBA, and not just NBA games, the biggest NBA games, right? Facts. If you just chilled out, if you just chilled, and I'm not saying Punk was all the way at fault. I'm sure Jack Perry probably had his own, you know, part to this, and the Elite have the old part to this, and I'm not trying to.
Well, there's versions of the story, for the record, there are versions of the retelling of the story that go both ways, but there are versions that skew in favor of Perry enough for him to be like, dude, I, you know, no harm intended, nothing whatever. And Punk said, you know, nah, I can kick your ass right, and then went right into it, you know?
Maybe, I mean, maybe the straight edge stuff isn't working out no more, bro. It's a different time.
I remember, this is apropos of absolutely nothing. I remember talking to a sports writer a while, years and years ago, talking about straight edge baseball players. There's apparently like a number of pitchers and stuff that are like, you know, that don't do anything. And he was like, the weirdest thing about them is they all have so much time on their hands because there's only so much pitching you can do, but also you don't do anything. You don't go out. So they're all just like, you know, genius level race car builders or like whatever, but, and they all have this like just some incredible like in-depth passion. But the problem is if you don't have a place to redirect all of that energy and time, then you just go insane. So I, you know, if your passion is your career, that's what you're putting everything into. Maybe there is a problem there.
It's just,
it
shocks first of me all, that he couldn't just chill out. That's the thing that bothers me. Like, nah, it's, I mean, shocks this me is that the, he couldn't just be chill about this whole thing.
We can't write, you know, Punk's autobiography or biography for a while until we get some distance or whatever.
Yeah.
But it certainly does affect the way that we look at the Punk resume, right? That we look at like Punk's time easily. In WWE. I mean, listen, there are a lot of people that are going to say, I guess WWE was right, you know, when letting Punk walk and not catering to him or whatever. I mean, in the defense of everybody that was pro-Punk to any degree at that point in time, you know, there was certainly word out there that Punk was being difficult to work with. But guess what? We heard that about every single person that ever left WWE and a lot of people that stayed with WWE. You know, right, I mean, they got that word out about people, whether or not it was true.
Right.
So, you know, take it or leave it. But, I mean, it's pretty wild, man. This definitely is going to do more to Punk's legacy, I think, than just if he had even like just no-showed. You know, or just, you know, never come back after Brawl Out 1, right?
You know what it's like? It's like, if you're a diehard CM Punk fan, it's like if Tupac came back from the dead, right? Like I can only compare it to being like a diehard Tupac fan, right? And then like Tupac came back from the dead and everything Tupac died with, like, he came back doing Tyler Perry movies and doing songs with like 6ix9ine. <He's> like doing songs with Tekashi 6ix9ine.
He's like Trump 2024, y'all.
right.
Like everything this dude like died on the sword for, went out on his shield for, is almost like null and void now, right? Like the whole point of the pipe bomb, the whole point of walking away from wrestling was to incite change and be an agent of change. And then we got that change. And AEW is a living, breathing, successful byproduct of that pipe bomb, right? So on paper, this should have been such a home run.
Right.
But if you're a diehard CM Punk fan and for 7-8 years, you're chanting CM Punk every time they're in WWE's in Chicago, or anytime they show a retrospective of World Champions and they don't show Punk and all this type of stuff. It makes you believe that, God damn, maybe these guys were, maybe this guy is who I thought he was. Maybe this guy isn't the person that I believed him to be. And I'm one of those guys, man. I really am. Like, I watched the Best in the World documentary until it was burned into my brain. The way he talked, the way he spoke with conviction about, you know, standing on what you believe in, no matter what, especially when you have a passion for them. Like, anybody can relate to that type of shit. But you have to look at his legacy a little different. Not you, yeah, obviously, Dave, because you're an awesome human being. But
no, I just don't have passion or conviction about anything. That is the way that I'm. Minimal passion, minimal conviction. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Jedi are being murdered.
On June 4th, Star Wars returns, only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it! Believe me!
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney Plus.
I'm more just surprised that people are doing it. I feel like this is the conversation we should have been having last year, honestly, because nothing has changed. Yeah. If anything, the stakes only got heightened. And hell, because this is a really big black eye right after the 81,000 plus that got sold at Wembley Stadium.
That's the worst part to me. The Tony Khan, the AEW wrestlers don't even get to enjoy it.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. They set records. They did something that literally nobody thought could ever be done.
And we're talking about this
shit. And now we're talking about this shit again. It's every single fucking time.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. I just don't. I don't know.
It is fun. It is funny. That this whole
it's
thing.
Funny.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious to me because now, I mean, even if you even remember like after Brawl Out, when like CM Punk was like backstage at WWE and like backstage at Impact, it's almost like it almost feels like he was like trying to rebuild some burnt bridges and like make amends and do like the, you know, Ghost of Christmas Past, present and future, and like his wrestling life, right? Like with all these people. That one would think like, hey, okay, maybe he's really got his shit on straight because he has this incredible opportunity for his own show and literally everything he's ever wanted, everything he complained about in WWE, everything that the pipe bomb was about, talking about all these indie wrestlers and New Japan guys and all the stuff that he'd love to do. He literally got every single thing that he ever wanted and it didn't work out. Which is insane to think about now.
What did he do with it? Because remember, when he first got here, mind you, that the reason that all of this happened was because Jack Perry didn't even mention him. He mentioned a story in the dirt sheets on the YouTube show before the pay-per-view, and that incensed CM Punk. But CM Punk was the one calling out Adam Page. He recently called out Adam Page. It wasn't on TV, but there's like it's very hypocritical, honestly. You really can't have it both ways, but I think what we're realizing is I think CM Punk still is what he was saying back then, but instead of being that guy for pro wrestling, he's just that guy for CM Punk.
He's that guy for CM Punk himself. Yes,
that's all he's worried about. Yeah.
I have zero proof about this, but I swear to you, an unspoken about byproduct of the whole CM Punk to AEW experiment. I have zero proof of this. This is just the courage of my convictions. I truly believe the Punk Cody Rhodes thing, like the timing of that shit. You can't tell me Punk's arrival in AEW didn't have at least some sort of thing, something to do with Cody Rhodes eventually saying, you know what, I'm good. Like, I have no proof, but if I've just read the context clues, watched the documentaries, I've read the interviews, I've seen the square dance that they're doing around each other, not necessarily mentioning each other, but they're all like, you know, orbiting around different worlds. You can't tell me that CM Punk didn't have at least something. Now, obviously, he probably couldn't afford to have them both on the roster, but I just truly believe if there's anybody in this whole mess that is well aware of how bad Punk would be for a locker room, it would probably be Cody Rhodes. And Cody probably said no. And he said it in the documentary, he said that he had a personal issue and that's why he left AEW. And he didn't say anything more than that. But he shouted out the Bucks. He still talks with Kenny. He said all the notable people that one would think Cody would have a relationship with AEW, he's still very good with. I promise you, I have no proof, but if in some months or years, I'm going to be proven right. The Punk Cody dynamic is what caused all of this. It's what caused all of this, and now you gotta wonder just how deep it got. And what those negotiations were like when it was time for Cody to renew right around the time. They're like, yo, we got CM Punk coming. We don't think we can come. We got this motherfucker has wrestled in 9 years and we got the United Center sold out off a rumor. You can't tell me that.
What day is he starting? And he's like starting to work backwards on when he's going to be getting out.
Exactly. So I think that's another unforeseen sort of circumstance of this entire CM Punk.
Well, then the degree to which that's worked out for WWE can't really be overstated.
Yes. I'm wildly
also. I mean, we're talking sliding doors. I mean, he almost was there. I mean, you know, Punk was almost in WWE instead of AEW.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's people always kind of gloss over that, but that's true. I mean, Cal, you said this is we should have been at this point a year ago, basically, or been asking some of these questions a year ago. I think as wrestling fans, people sitting where we're sitting. I mean, there's a real intuitive piece to this, right? Which is when Brawl Out 1 happened, we didn't have a lot of the information. And the information we did have, even the stuff that kind of turned out to be true, so it sort of was so hard to process, right? I said to Kaz this week, it sucks for AEW that their best matches are happening backstage where nobody can see them. But there is a piece to this that we're like, this is how we process things as wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. We don't know the end of the story. We don't know the story. So like, what are we supposed to do with this? Well, now we got the ending. So we can actually like work backwards to the truth, right? I mean, you can actually sort of process it better in a different way. If Punk had just been off TV for 2 weeks and come back, I mean, who's going to have the moral high ground to be like, they should have fired him? What do we know? We presume that they figured this out on their own. They did figure it out on their own. And this led to Punk's termination, release, whatever, from AEW. He's gone. Now, sucks for AEW. But I do think they got would do it all over again, even knowing what they were. Well, if they had it to do all over again, then maybe they, you know, would tell everyone to stay 100 feet away from CM Punk backstage. Right. But still, if they had to do it all over again, Tony Khan would probably get it because it's not, what are they going to do with Collision? He's got two shows now. That's a huge deal, man. You date a girl and your credit's bad, so you get her to like co-sign your car or whatever. When she's gone, it's like, well, it's harder to make the payments now because she's not helping me out, but at least I got the car. Right, no, it's like I guess
Yeah, but it sucks when like every weekend you take out the car and you're banging it in the other cars every time you park it, or you know, you lose your keys, you can't go out, or you don't wear the car, you let your friend borrow it and the car's all fucked up. Like he doesn't have the best track record with some of these shows, at least some of the aspects of these shows. So it's tough for me to, because again, we're not even including the weekly Ring of Honor Club stuff. I'm assuming he's got a hand in the book into that as well. That's a lot on his plate, and solely his plate. It felt like for Collision at the very least. I know they were talking about Punk, but I guess I'm assuming Ace Steel is going to be gone. I feel like they were two people that were supposed to be doing creative along with Brian Danielson and maybe a couple of other people. That I feel like that show's definitely going to change.
Yeah.
I don't know if it, and I know a lot there's people I've spoken with who love Collision, but they love it because it doesn't feel like
that
any of the other AEW TV. So it's going to be interesting to see what that show turns into.
You know who the happiest person is tonight in wrestling? The two happiest people?
Who?
Edge and Mercedes Moné's agents. Whatever contract he was negotiating, boy, you better jack that price up. Because there's stories about Edge possibly, leaving WWE, going to AEW. If you could somehow subtract CM Punk out of your locker room and add Edge, it's like subbing out like Muggsy Bogues and getting Shaq, right? Like as far as morale, morale-wise, right? Like right. Edge is revered and seems like a person who is, who has a similar or much larger learning tree than CM Punk would be. But if there's any time to like really, get those two into your locker room and be like, yo, we've been through some shit. Like it's been a wild 2 years. Like, we got to steer the ship. And it's not like they need big steering. I mean, they got Samoa Joe back there. They got Moxley back there. Eddie Kingston, obviously. Bryan Danielson. I mean, they have guys who have been through shit. You know what I mean? Right. So, but if I'm Edge or Mercedes Moné's agents, bro, the price of the brick definitely went up.
Went all the way
in the past 24 hours.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Who else stands to gain from this? I mean, do you think Tony Khan, we're recording this basically live. Tony Khan is opening the show right now.
Oh, shoot. Watch this.
Backstage saying that it was people's safety was at risk. And yeah, I mean, that's true. It's easy to gloss over in pro wrestling. But imagine any of your other hobbies. If somebody was just throwing fists in the locker room backstage before the camera turns on, whatever it is. If you're a big watcher of MSNBC and you find out that Chris Hayes is punching people backstage, you wouldn't just be like, well, that's show business, it's true. He had to make a call. Tony Khan is sort of winner and loser in this, because this is the stand he's needed to make, and maybe he made the best decision for his company, but this is, I think, will reflect positively on him in retrospect.
Yeah, I think so. It's better late than never, but I do think he made the right choice here. And you talk about people who stand to gain from the loss of CM Punk. I mean, we're looking at one right now. I think Ricky Starks, who got to work with Punk in the last sort of Collisions and has more or less become the de facto main eventer over there, stands to gain a lot. Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to main event tonight or tomorrow night with Punk, supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah. I mean, who else? A lot of people, right now we're at a point where guys like the Elite could be on Collision now. Collision.
No, apparently they're booked for Collision tonight, apparently. Oh, well, so, I mean, we'll see.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go, right?
We were just in a situation where Adam Page was told not to even get in the building. Yeah. People like that are able to, whenever, it was around the time he made those comments after the show about Adam Page being a peg warmer, I believe is the term that he used.
And now it's like we look at all those other things that he was talking about. You talk about the peg warmer comment. You're talking about the thing that happened with Ryan Nemeth and calling him soft as Charmin. Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking about all these things. It's like, damn, this dude was really on edge. Like, it all sort of adds up. Yeah, man. True. It's, I think the entire roster stands to gain from this. I think, you know, and I said this even before, you know, the Punk was sort of let go. But we were talking about if we'd like to see CM Punk in WWE. I would say, yeah, not just for the sense, for the sake that, you know, there's some stories to be told over there, but all the stories that you'd want to tell with CM Punk in AEW can't tell for legal reasons, right? Like, you're not going to work with the Elite, really, and not working with Jack Perry. Like, all the stuff that I'd want to see, the stuff I can't really even see anymore. And to be quite frank, the matches weren't that must see for me to be like, oh man, they're losing such a
thank you.
Like, I'm not like dying to see, like, yeah, I'm not dying to see him with certain people anymore. Like, I'm dying to kind of see him, you know, sort of continue to tell stories with people. Like, I think there's a lot of folks in WWE, given this entire crazy controversial run he's been at since he's left WWE, I think there's some very interesting things to tell there. But it's not like they really need them, though. You know what I mean? It's not like, I don't think they were, I don't think they're racing to their cell phone to try and get him under contract anytime soon. I think they're doing pretty good on their own. And, you know, you don't want
what a weird in spot to be in, though.
Would he have been better off just an idea of like, what if CM Punk came back as opposed to him coming back and we got this?
That's how life is,
WWE needs to sign him to an exclusive contract that only entails starting CM Punk is showing up rumors
right
for the next 5 years. A 5-year exclusive contract will give you $100,000 a year just so every WrestleMania we can just start a CM Punk is back and get people to watch. I think it would be crazy to say he's never going to be at WWE.
I agree. Yeah.
I think that his relationship, his past relationship with Triple H notwithstanding, I think they're probably on better terms now than most people realize. Actually, no. Punk said some nice things about Triple H at just the recently. Cauliflower Alley in the speech that he gave. So I guess that people should know this by now. I think there's some buried hatchets. And I think that, you know, Punk can be receptive if somebody's willing to show him the monetary respect he thinks he deserves. Right. I mean, especially at this point where you're just like, you don't, there's no negotiation. There's no one bidding against each other. Yeah. Right. So if WWE, and how much longer can you do this? I mean, if Punk says, if, you know, WWE set calls and they say, you know,
he's still a
give
us
six matches in 2 years or something. And we'll give you just a giant Brinks truck full of money, he's going to say yes.
He's still a commodity. Like, that's the wild part about all this. Like, is he the biggest name out there? No, but like, he is still very much a needle mover in professional wrestling. So you can't just automatically think he'll never be in WWE again. Like, I think it's definitely possible.
Well, I blame you, the fans, and the people who were sitting there watching the first dance, myself included. I blame
that dude crying in the crowd.
Right. So much hope and promise about this guy. I've been sitting on his couch for 8 years. No disrespect, but like, I saw him popping out.
Well, Rick. Ring rust wasn't exactly the issue, Cal. I mean,
I don't know. What were the top five matches in the last year from CM Punk?
He had a lot of good. He was really good, man. I really liked
the Samoa Joe match. I think the MJF.
Shout out Samoa Joe. Okay.
I think the MJF program was his best work, I believe.
He had one of those matches was good. One of those matches was good.
My favorite, yo, I'll tell you dead ass. One of my top three CM Punk moment easily was when Mox squashed him. Easily. When he got the knee injury and he ran through him, and Mox was backstage, he became undisputed champion. It was only 2 minutes, Cal. It wasn't that long. backstage and he's like, well, was that not supposed to happen? I thought that was some of the coolest shit AEW ever did. And I wish they would have ran with that. But, you know.
Surprised nobody mentioned the Dax Harwood match. That was actually a good match. The Dax Harwood match from.
Okay.
A minute ago.
Oh, yeah. The Bret Hart tribute match. Yeah. It was fantastic.
It's good when he's got good dancing partners, but I'm not. That's a different conversation.
No, but I mean, but come on. He's a free.
You're right. I think that's that. But that's the problem. It's like, I think the idea and the draw of CM Punk is still there. Once you mention his name, again, we're not doing an emergency pod about Payback all out anything. It's him getting terminated from this company. But the caveat is then you have, there's so much baggage that comes with him. And a lot of it is just the way he's affecting people in the industry, backstage, whatever the case may be. There's something that I think they thought they were getting with him when they invested in him, and it's just not there anymore.
No, okay, but there are plenty of stories about getting the thing that they got, the thing that they expected to get. Mm-hmm. They just also got this other thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he mentored young wrestlers. I mean, that seems to be beyond dispute. He's also feuded with some random young wrestlers along the way too. You know, I mean, like he as a creative force running Collision. I mean, this we talk about Collision more than we talk about Dynamite. We talk about Collision more than we talk about SmackDown. You know, like it's like we love this. It's a great show. And
that's why I say now what though, because again, if he was part of that driving force and he's not going to be there anymore, there's a lot of things that get lost because of not his wrestling, not anything else, but the bullshit, the extra baggage that comes with bringing him to the table. He's his own worst enemy.
I mean, I'm reading some of the quotes from the Tony Khan address, and he said, never have I ever felt that my security, my safety, my life was in danger at a wrestling show. Mm. That is some damning, that's a damning quote, man.
Like, so he felt his own life in danger.
He felt his own life and safety was in danger.
He was standing right there, probably shook him.
Yeah, I mean, man, listen. Ryback put a TikTok out. My gosh, wrestling Twitter is going ham sandwich right now. Oh my god,
I have no idea what's going on.
He just had a hell of a ace though in the hole, because they just brought Danielson back and he's going to face Ricky Starks at All Out in a strap match.
Wait, what happened?
Brian Danielson.
Oh, he's wrestling.
Yeah, so Ricky Dragon Steamboat said, "Yeah, you'll get Dragon on the contract," but then out comes Brian Danielson.
Oh wow.
Danielson's
so they're going to fight tomorrow night?
Yeah.
He's ready for that?
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. I'm sitting here
apparently
like.
Apparently so.
Because I saw that's him come awesome. Out. So I'm like, let me scroll to double check.
Oh my gosh.
Danielson, man. He's going to be working overtime.
I pray he's.
Did John Moxley get his vacation yet?
I don't think so.
Wow, how long? Wait, he was supposed to get.
Oh man, American Airlines is emailing John Moxley like, you've only got 45 more days to use these credits. You're gonna have to just let these expire, bro.
It's been a year.
Man. Well, that's wild. So, wow, Danielson's back. That's a great ending to this podcast. Wow. You know. It just keeps time marches on. Wrestlers march on.
And Payback's going on right now. So much wrestling's happening right now. While we're talking
and
about
Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch.
That's going on right
cage
now.
Happening right now.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Let's get out of here, Dave. Let's do it. Let's
Ben says put Ryan Nemeth in the main event of Collision tonight. You know, playing Cult of Personality and having Ryan Nemeth come out would not be the worst idea.
Listen,
do it. Oh, man. Do it, Tony Khan. Be petty.
It's wild, though. I mean, Tony Khan, I can't wait to watch this. And I do take his safety, his personal safety concerns mm-hmm. incredibly seriously. Mm-hmm. This wasn't the, you know, punk screwed punk heel turn promo that we were, that some people were fantasizing about.
Well, I think, again, if he went, the report said that he was there to witness it. I was wondering.
Or that he might have been a victim. I mean, he might have been lunged at, you know? I mean,
exactly. It's different when you're not there and you hear about some stuff that happens. To be there and see what's going on, it can change you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Crazy.
That's entirely true. Man. All right. Well, CM Punk gone from AEW. AEW is quickly putting stuff together to make us forget that's a problem. Payback is on right now as well, I believe. We got to watch some wrestling so we can podcast more about it. What have we missed? Brian, Ben, do you want to get on? Do you have any? Are there any beats here that we need to talk about before we disappear?
Any Payback notes?
No.
I went to SmackDown last night. Does anybody want to hear about it?
Well, how was it live?
It was great.
Jimmy Uso's new music.
It was great. The music. Well, I tell you, there's one music note that really, I don't know if I've witnessed this and forgotten about it. I don't think I've ever seen this before. But they do this thing where they do like fan cams between, you know, when they're on commercial. And one of the things they do is this DX cam where they play the DX theme song and then like kids crotch chop on camera. So I ran to the bathroom after, like, as this match was wrapping up, watched the pinfall from the entryway, then I'm running into the bathroom, you know, trying to, like, not miss a single thing. And all of a sudden, Bobby Lashley's in the ring about to cut a promo. That's where it was in the show. And I was like, I can get back. It's just a promo. I won't miss any match. And then DX music hits. And I'm imagining Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Shawn Michaels and Triple H. I'm like running back in the arena, like zipping my pants as I'm going down the aisle. Oh, it was not okay, guys. It was not. It was a lot of fun. I haven't been to a SmackDown in so long. The only ones I've been to are the ones where, like, the beginning of a WrestleMania weekend, and right, you're like preemptively tired, going to it. But man, going to see a 2-hour wrestling show is just fantastic. We brought the kids. My nephew said he wanted to see John Cena, and so we were like, okay, we're bringing the whole family. So we had a big crew there. And you know, John Cena opened the show, and it was just so much fun, man. It was great. It was so nice. I guess we'll see. John Cena's hosting this event tonight,
right? And he's now the guest referee for the Miz and LA Knight match.
Oh, really? Who do we want to see him feud with?
I don't know. I mean, it looks like might be a Los Angeles Knight. This is. I don't know. I feel like if I give a prediction right now, it'll be wrong by the time people listen to this. I'm not just going to say anything.
if you were starting a wrestling promotion right now, you have a multi-million dollar backer, and you're in charge, and you have to pick. You can either have as your founding wrestler CM Punk, or LA Knight. Who do you go with?
I'm taking LA Knight.
Founding wrestler?
No. Like, who do you get one of those two guys?
All of Punk's qualms, all his problems had to do with, like, lack of structure and working with kids and people not being professional. So now I'm going to hire him to be the first wrestler to establish the order and all this. No, thank you, sir. Give me the dude. Give me the man who slept in his car and had to, like, work every single odd job in Hollywood just to get there.
He says, grateful.
I will take CM Punk, but he will be on the shortest leash. His office or his room is going to be right next to my room. Everybody else is going to be on the other side of the building. Yeah, I think I could figure out a way to build a wall around CM Punk
I'm getting CM Punk only if he is employee number one, just an employee. You get no say in any of this. You get no extra power. You are strictly talent, my friend. That is it. That is effing it. Because he is still a draw, and I still want to watch CM Punk cut promos, hear cults of personality. As long as he can still wrestle, I'm still interested in watching the dude wrestle, believe it or not. But I think I'd probably take Punk. No power.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think it might be interesting just to give CM Punk totally everything that he wants from the very beginning and just say, well, no, Punk's in charge. We'll make all the decisions based on who Punk likes and doesn't like and just see how it goes. Yeah, it's possible it'll work out. I will say this, though. You used to go to shows like I went to last night and you'd be out in the parking lot and everybody'd be in their CM Punk t-shirts and during boring matches, people would be chanting CM Punk.
Yeah.
Now those folks are in LA Knight t-shirts and everywhere in the arena, out in the parking lot for the 35 minutes it took us to get from our parking spot to the main street. You roll down the window. My kids, ages 4 and 14, were both going, the window. And choruses of people would answer back.
Yeah, that was us walking out of WrestleMania, one of my last encounters. Yeah, that's all it was.
I mean, it's a thing, man. It's a thing. Who knows? All right, well, thank you guys for doing this. Thank you guys for jumping on. Let's go watch some real wrestling. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to our producer, Brian H. Waters, to Ben Cruz for hanging in here as well, for making all this happen. Cal, Kaz, I'll see you back here on Monday. I'll see you guys around. And Kaz and I will see the listeners back here on Monday. Humanoids, that's the end.